Well, I'd like to start off the message today in maybe perhaps a kind of an unusual spot for a Feast of Pentecost. Instead of going to Acts chapter 2, I think we should turn back to Matthew chapter 19. You can turn back there. Matthew chapter 19. This, of course, is before that first New Testament Pentecost recorded in Acts chapter 2. It's even before Jesus Christ was crucified. It was back when he was still performing his earthly ministry, really kind of right in the thick of it. And there really is a whole lot of activity going on in and around Jesus Christ and his disciples in Matthew chapter 19. A few chapters earlier, we have the transfiguration, a demon that could only be cast out by Christ, Jesus confronting the attitude of who is the greatest, the parable of the lost sheep, heavy topics like divorce and marriage, etc., etc., etc. There's a lot going on here. In the midst of all of this, we get these three little verses in Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 13. It says, "Then little children were brought to him, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them." Now, I'd like to pause here for a moment. Can you visualize how crazy it would have been around Jesus Christ at this time? Now, I don't have very much experience, really any experience, of being around someone so famous or so popular, but you'd have to imagine that the demands on his time would have had to have been crushing. I can't imagine how many people were trying to get access to Jesus Christ. Anyone that needed a healing, anyone with demons, anyone that needed help, literally thousands of people all trying to get just a moment of his time, just a touch of his garment. So here we are, we have some children being brought forth with him, to the intent of being blessed. And the disciples, they cut them off. I don't know what was going through their minds, but I don't think this had anything to do with them hating kids or anything like that. But probably there were hundreds of things that were more pressing and more important, at least in their mind. But what is remarkable is what happens next, verse 14. "But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them.'" Why? Why was that so important? "For of such is the kingdom of heaven." So in spite of all that is going on, Jesus Christ stops what he is doing in verse 15, and he laid his hands on them and departed from there. There was a principle that Jesus Christ felt he had to go out of his way to reinforce. Did the disciples understand what it was all about at that time? Well, I don't know. The next verse, Jesus Christ is off to another important teaching. But what I'd like to propose today is that whether they understood it or not, 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, the early church of God got the lesson of Matthew 19 and the little children. Now, maybe not consciously, maybe not proactively, but if we look at their example and the situation that that body of individuals found themselves in and contrast it to a separate group of people a few generations previous, then I think we can pull out some of the differences. And more importantly, when we highlight those differences, then we can identify if we have those same characteristics within our lives. And if we can objectively look at our lives through those lens, not just the lens of the early church in Acts chapter 2, but the example found in Matthew chapter 19, and then hopefully we can recognize if we are in fact childlike or just childish. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. Now, I'm going to go under the assumption that you've read through Acts chapter 2 recently, hopefully leading up to today. So I'm not going to go back through that story. And instead, we're going to look at the contrasting example. And it's this very concisely and beautifully written Psalms in chapter 78 that I'll use. The contrasting example of a childish behavior is of the ancient Israelites. And I like Psalms chapter 78 because it recounts the stories and their lessons of those people in their own words. Now, we don't have time to go through much of it, but I challenge you to read it through on your own and through the perspective that we are talking about today. Let's pick it up in Psalm 78, verse 1, a contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now, this is unlike other psalms in the same book in that it's not meant to be sung necessarily. It's not a psalm that you would use in prayer. Instead, it's written as a contemplation, meaning that the author intended for you to read this psalm and think soberly and reflectively about what is written here. There's also a purpose to the psalm that was relevant to those people in that time, but God also presents it to us for our lives. It's a great cause and effect chapter, not just of actions, but of motives. Let's drop down to verse 12, still in Psalm 78. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he fed them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their hearts by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Now, that's not testing what God can do, but rather they were saying in their hearts, I don't believe God can do this. I don't believe God can do any of this. Now, verses 20 through 31 go on and explain that they whined for water, and God gave them a river out of a rock. They complained about food, and God gave them bread out of heaven. They murmured about meat, and God had quail delivered by the truckloads. Verse 32, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. Well, let's distill it down even further. What is the difference between these groups, the Israelites here in Psalm 78 and the disciples that you've read about in Acts chapter 2? What is childish versus childlike? Well, how about their response to situations outside their control? To be childish is to bicker and complain, and even when it's resolved, be sure to open up that same wound the next time anything else pops up. While the childlike group in Acts chapter 2 were in one accord, the situation that they found themselves in was almost inconsequential. Children have the unique ability to put the negative behind them with amazing speed and then forget about it. One child could take a toy from another, they'll fight about it and say, I'm never going to play with this guy ever again. And then a few minutes later, they calm down, they apologize, and then they get to playing again like nothing ever happened. What about attitudes towards themselves? The ancient Israelites were often out for themselves, while the early church shared and gave freely to one another. Now, if you've had a lot of experiences with a child, I think this attribute can ring all the more obvious, because selfishness is an acquired attribute. They aren't born that way. When Lucas was very little, he used to absolutely love his pacifiers. I mean, he was nutso for his pacifiers. He would sleep with one in his mouth, one in each hand, and then we'd sprinkle like a pallet load in his bed to keep him occupied. They were his most favorite possession. Well, one time he came across another kid that was upset and crying, and he takes his pacifier out and he tries to share it freely with that other kid. That's disgusting, of course. But how many other of us would freely share something that we comparatively cherished so much to a stranger? That type of generous, sharing spirit is childlike. The Israelites, when they longed for meat in the desert and first saw quail, they literally gorged themselves. Childish versus childlike. And finally, one other example I'll bring out, hopefully you have many more in your mind, is the response to God's involvement within their own lives. The Israelites were shocked. They were amazed, even terrified by the miracles that they saw. And then they got distracted by whatever else. In the end, it ended up having very little, if any, effect at all. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, you don't have to turn back there, it said, Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They had that wonderment and that awe over the mighty power of God, and it had a lasting impact in their lives. To get a feeling of this, you need to take a child to a circus. You're welcome to ours for a couple of weeks at a time. Well, we went to a circus not too long ago, and as an adult, I mean, sure, it's cool, it's neat. I mean, they do some interesting things. But really what makes this experience really amazing is to watch it through the eyes of a child. When you watch it through their perspective, you regain some of that wonder and some of that amazement and awe. It opens their eyes to things they never thought possible. The Israelites saw and then discarded. The apostles saw and then embraced and let it impact their lives. Childlike versus childish. To be childlike, as we read in the opening, is a key characteristic of the kingdom to come. And when the early church displayed some of those same characteristics, they were cut to the heart. They experienced rapid growth and had peace and broke bread together in one accord and harmony. To be childish and to exhibit those characteristics led a group of people to wander around a desert for another 40 years, to have endless battles and little rest, and a lengthy, painful timeout period we call the captivity. To be childlike opens the doors for what God can do with you and through you. To be childish, well, let's read verses 40 and 41 here, still in Psalm 78, 40 and 41. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert with their childish behavior. Yes, again and again, they tempted God. And notice this, and limited the Holy One of Israel. To be childish means to limit what the most powerful creator of the entire universe can do with you and in your life. Well, as much as we may want to, we can't go back in time and take part in the amazing experience that early church had in Acts chapter 2, but we can move forward, become more childlike, and take part in the amazing experiences promised yet to come.